You know, it's weird. For the first time since I came to Immanuel a few months ago, I found myself apprehensive, nervous, actually not wanting to perform some of my duties as vicar. To be honest, when I first heard about the sermon, I did not want to prepare it or preach it to you today. You might hear that and go, really? What is it that you didn't want to prepare or preach? Well, you have to understand that the topic of the sermon today is tithing. Or in simpler language, the topic of today's sermon is about money. That's right. Money, the thing people argue about so bitterly, the thing people fight about tooth and nail, that leaves people with hard feelings. I have the responsibility of preaching about it today. When I heard about that, I was terrified. Didn't want to do it, but it fell to me, so I didn't know what I was going to do. So I went to the Lord in prayer, and I said, Lord, you gave me the responsibility to your people. So Lord, give me the words, because I don't have them. Just give me the words, O Lord. Amen. And after I had said this prayer, I opened my Bible to Luke chapter 10, the parable of the Good Samaritan, the basis for today's sermon. And after I finished reading it, I realized God had answered my prayer, that he had given me the perfect text with which to preach a sermon on tithing. You might say, really? That's kind of weird. Wouldn't the parable of the talents be better? Oh wait, that was last Sunday. But what about in Matthew, where Jesus says, stir up for yourself treasures in heaven, where thieves don't break in, and moth and rust does not destroy. Or in Matthew, where he said, where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Well, wouldn't that be better? Well, no. Not necessarily. You see, the parable of the Good Samaritan is excellent for tithing because it's direct and it's to the point. We see this in verse 25 when an expert in the law, a lawyer, asks Jesus point blank, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? This question is straight and to the point. And Jesus, knowing what's going on, answers a question with a question. He asks this lawyer, what's his understanding of Scripture, or in the words of Jesus, how do you read it? And this man gives a very straightforward and very works-oriented answer in verse 27, saying, love God with all your soul, mind, heart, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, to his credit, this is the two things Jesus said were the greatest commandments. So this man is doubling down. He's putting all his hope on what he's doing for God. This is very clearly evidenced in verse 29, where it says, seeking to justify himself, he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And this, of course, prompts Jesus to tell the parable. So this lawyer is completely confident in what he is doing for God. He's also a total fool. Jesus Christ tells us the parable of the Good Samaritan as a clear and stark reminder that we cannot endear ourselves to God by our works. It's impossible. The level of kindness shown by the Samaritan to the stranger, this Jew, is unimaginable both in our world and in Jesus' time. We can't imagine it. Remember that the Jews and Samaritans were bitter enemies. They didn't want to admit they had anything in common. They wanted nothing to do with each other. So the Samaritan journeys on the road, and he sees his enemy, this Jew, beaten to a pulp and lying in the street. What does he do? He picks him up. He gives him first aid. He carries him to safety, and he pays the innkeeper, saying, look after him. Now, how does that Samaritan know that innkeeper's not going to take him for a ride? He doesn't. It's a risk he's willing to take to help this total stranger. And this is an unbelievable example of unconditional, undeserved love that Jesus tells us. Then he tops it off with, go and do likewise. I mean, how can we do that? I'm sure we can love someone that loves us in return. We could show that kind of love to our parents, our significant other, our siblings, our children, our best friend. But what about a total stranger? Can we show them that kind of love? Or what about someone we don't like very much, that we'd rather not even be around? Can we show them the kind of love the Samaritan showed? I know up here on this pulpit that I couldn't do it. In fact, I don't know of any human being that could, other, of course, than our Lord Jesus Christ. The facts are simple. We cannot earn our way to God. That bar is far, far too high. And this is what brings us again to our tithes and offerings. I think it's pretty clear we cannot bribe God by the gift or offering put in that collection plate. Just think about it. God Almighty is the creator of everything. He created this planet, this solar system, this galaxy. By saying it, he spoke it, and it happened. With that in mind, I don't think some dollar bills or a check with some zeros in it is really going to impress God very much. But let's not forget about the crown jewel of God's creation, humans, us. In fact, we're more than God's prized creation. We are his dear children. So dear to him, in fact, that when we get off the path and weren't just naughty, but were in way over our heads, in evil, in sin, that God, like Samaritan in the parable, made great effort to rescue us at great cost to himself in the person of Jesus Christ. In fact, you could say the parable of the Good Samaritan is autobiographical. We are the person in the parable that got mugged, that was robbed, beaten to a pulp, and left for dead in the street. That's us. We are just as helpless and hopeless to save ourselves as the man in the parable. And Jesus, of course, would be the Samaritan. He comes and he sees his enemy in the street, because in our sinful condition, we are spiritually dead and enemies of God. And he sees us, and even though we're enemies, he picks us up. He helps us. He carries us to safety. That's who he is. But unlike the Samaritan in the parable, it cost Jesus much more than time, much more than money. Oh, much, much more. For one, it cost Jesus his dignity. You know, Jesus was humiliated when he came from heaven to earth to be a humble man. So humble, in fact, that he got on his hands and knees and washed his disciples' feet during the Last Supper. What makes this so amazing is that in the culture of the ancient Middle East, a slave would not be expected to wash someone else's feet. That would just be too humiliating for a slave to do. And here you have God Almighty, the creator of the universe, doing it willingly. It's unbelievable. And that is just a preview of what Jesus Christ does, his action in the world. The main attraction, of course, comes the next day, that Good Friday, where he meets his death on the cross. Death that didn't come quick or easy, but slow or painful. I mean, think about that. Could you pay someone enough to go and die in your place? Of course you couldn't. Or conversely, let's say you miss someone who has died. Could you ever pay enough to have them return to life? No, that's even more impossible than paying someone to die for you. But Jesus Christ shows us his love and his great strength, his power, when he does both. He dies for us, then returns to life for us. And he does this knowing we have nothing to offer him or nothing to give him in return for what he's done. He just gives it to us anyway as a free gift. Because that's who he is, a loving, gracious, merciful God. And this is, of course, the gospel of my Christ that it's my pleasure to proclaim to all of you. And it's an amazing thing. It changes everything. It changes our life. It changes our world. And changes the meaning of the words of Jesus Christ at the end of our text today. It says, go and do likewise. And this side of the cross, we have Jesus Christ asking us to love God and love others as he has, or at least close to it as is humanly possible to do. So, what does this look like? Jesus Christ tells us very plainly at the end of Matthew, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." Now, the Greek word "go" in this context means as you are going, within your daily life, your daily routine. Okay. And this is where money and tithing comes in. For you see, money is part of our everyday life as we are going. We go out, we have lunch, we pay the bill, we leave a tip. We pay our utility bill every month, water, electricity, that costs money. We sock a little away in a Roth IRA. Again, it's money. It's part of our daily life. So how can we use money, which is part of our daily life, to love our neighbor and love God? Well, very simply, you take your tithe and your offering and put it in the offering plate here at Immanuel. Okay. What good will that do? Well, actually, it does quite a bit. Well, first and foremost, our tithes and offerings help us to fund our compassion center here at Immanuel. Now, some of you in the pews volunteer there, but if not, our compassion center provides food and clothing to the residents of the Lochraven community. Also, every week we preach the gospel to them. For all we know, that's their one chance all week to hear the gospel preached, in addition to receiving their food and their clothing. And it's this great outreach to the community. The hungry are fed, the poor are clothed, and the gospel is preached. And this is all made possible by your continued tithes and offerings offered in the plate every week here at Immanuel. And besides the Lochraven community, let us not forget the ways in which your offerings and tithes help you personally. For your offering and tithes and offerings help the door here at church to stay open. And what do we find in the four walls of this church? We find the Bible, the Word of God, to us. We find this pulpit where the gospel of Christ is freely preached. We find this baptismal font where by its waters we enter the kingdom of God. We have this altar where we take part in the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith. This word and sacrament ministry is what keeps us going day to day, week to week, year by year. And its continuing presence here is made possible by our tithes and offerings. And finally, let us not forget all the other ways Immanuel serves just the larger city of Baltimore, such as our Christmas concert, December 12th. We'll have people coming here, God willing, from all over the city. Some people that might not even know the Lord, but will come here because it's a beautiful building, excellent acoustics, wonderful music. They may come here, look around and say, "Wow, I mean, this is a beautiful building, but what does this mean? I don't know what it means." And in that question, we have a chance to answer, and so a chance to preach the gospel once again to that person. And they very well may come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. And this opportunity, as well as our Compassion Center and our Word and Sacrament Ministry, is all made possible and is continued by the tithes and offerings we put in that plate every week. And all these wonderful things are accomplished within the four walls of Immanuel. Again, this could not stay open. This could not continue without your tithes and offerings. So certainly now, I thank you for what you have done so far. And now I urge you to continue. Continue to serve and love God, the community around you, by putting your tithes in the plate. By doing so, we remember the Lord's Prayer. "Let thy will be done on earth as is in heaven, that your kingdom will come." For every tithe and offering, it's that much closer. So certainly, I thank you for doing what you have done so far. I urge you, continue to do what you have been doing. Amen. Now the peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord to life everlasting. Peace be with you. Amen.